Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tuning in online worldwide via our podcast, we're glad you all could be with us as well. As we're looking at the world today, I think a lot of us know that we do need a voice of reason. Well, one individual that definitely is able to make an impact when it comes to talking about sensitive topics like systematic racism or even, of course, war, is an individual named Philip Berrigan. Now, I have to admit, before this year, I had not been familiar with Philip's work. But thankfully, because of our next guest and the work of some tireless individuals, we now have his writings to be able to ponder and to reflect on. We're excited to welcome editor Brad Wolf to our broadcast today. He's going to talk to us about the book, A Ministry of Risk, Writings on Peace and Nonviolence. We're going to talk about the impact that Philip has been able to make, but also what he hopes you're able to take away from the book. For those who also are just not finding out about Philip, we'll let you guys know to be able to find out more information as well. Brad, thank you again for spending some time with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to the conversation.
Well, same here. And I mentioned in my introduction, and I didn't actually say it to you before you and I went live here, but I honestly had never heard of Philip Berrigan before, Brad. So when the book was first pitched to me, I was definitely fascinated about just the topics that he was able to opine about. But also, I think, when I think about individuals' legacy and impact, I also was intrigued by the book as well. What has that been like for you now to reintroduce Philip to others and to see how timely his writings are?
It's been a fascinating journey, truly. I was honored to be able to dig into the archives at DePaul and Cornell University to go through the Berrigan papers and try to get back into print the best of Philip Berrigan's writings. And for those who don't know, Philip Berrigan was a World War II veteran who became a Catholic priest, a civil rights activist in the 1950s, and then an anti-war activist in the 1960s. And he ended up going to prison for his nonviolent resistance to war. He spent 11 years total in prison throughout his lifetime, all for nonviolent resistance to war. And I was born and raised Catholic, went to Catholic school, and I was never introduced to Philip Berrigan. So Cyrus, you're not alone in that. I didn't discover the Berrigans until years later. And when I did, I recognized that this was a powerful voice for nonviolence, a powerful voice against segregation and racism, and even on environmentalism. Phil was so far ahead of his time in his writings, his work, and his willingness to sacrifice his body. He was always interested in placing his body with the victims.
Yeah, and that is what, in reading A Ministry of Risk, that is what really struck me, Brad, and I have to say, and I think for anyone who's a person of faith reading this book, I mean, I think one thing that comes across very often is that he was not a person whose actions did not match his words. They definitely were in harmony with one another. Was that one of the things that really kind of impacted you when you kind of thought about not only his writings, but the way he lived his life?
It really did. You know, this was a man who walked the walk. And so for the first time in my life, I saw faith and reality integrated in a day-to-day basis. And I understood, okay, this is the way it's meant to work. So that when you are a person of faith or even just a person of conscience, you recognize yeah. that there is victimization going on. And that victimization is not going to stop until you go into the breach with the victims, till all of us go into the breach with the victims. And that's how Phil described what is a ministry of risk, going into the breach with the victims, standing with them, being with them until that kind of suffering stops.
And I'm so glad you made that tie-in with the title, because I think for a lot of people, the thing that stops them is fear. That did not seem to be an issue for Phil. So I was curious for you, as this was kind of being put together and compiled, Brad, you know, these writings can be life-changing. How did they impact you? I mean, it's one thing to think about how you were introduced to him, but what was it like for you to kind of compile this? How life-changing was it for you in doing so?
they impacted me greatly because the way I conducted the research was to go to the archives, photograph all of Phil's writings that I thought were pertinent with my iPhone. So just hundreds and hundreds of photos that I brought home and then dictated out loud into my laptop so I could begin the editing process. And when I would read Phil's words out loud, it had an impact on me I had not anticipated, because when you read somebody's words out loud, you have a certain ownership in them. And so oftentimes I would stop and I would be struck by the power of Phil's words. And I would ask myself, am I up to that kind of challenge? Could I do that kind of thing? And so I would encourage your listeners, if they buy the book, read a couple of sections out loud and see how it impacts you and if it doesn't change your understanding of what's happening. And so for me, Phil set forward a bit of a challenge, not that we all need to spend 11 years in prison, but that we all do need to undertake some kind of ministry of risk in order to stop the suffering. And unfortunately, so much of the suffering in the world is perpetrated by the United States with our tax dollars under the name of our country. So as Americans, we have a special responsibility to be responsible, to stand up, and to be peacemakers.
Now, Brad, you just said something that, again, it is going to, I think, connect with people in different ways, because there are people who feel almost guilty for talking about things that they may see in the country that may not be right because they don't want to be seen as being anti-American or against the government. I think that kind of ties into also the courage, you know, of Philip here. Talk to us about that and what has given you the, maybe I'll say given you the strength to yourself be able to face those challenges in a ministry of risk.
Well, Phil emphasized that to be fully human is to be engaged in the work of peacemaking. And what he meant by being fully human is that if you avert your eyes from the suffering and the death that's going on in the world, if you think it's just too much, or if you're afraid to confront it because fear to your reputation or fear of being called anti-Americanism, at that point, you're losing part of your humanity. You're shutting off a critical part of your humanity. And that's not something any of us want to do. Our journey is always meant to be on that upward trajectory of becoming more fully human. And we do that by understanding our connection to everybody across the globe. So there is a matter of sacrifice there. There is a matter of courage, of stepping up, of taking a bit of a risk. Phil has compelled me in my own work in social justice. I'm a coordinator of the Merchants of Death War Crimes Tribunal, where we are holding weapons manufacturers accountable for war crimes. I had to serve subpoenas on these corporations, and you know, we risk arrest and we do things like that. But again, this is the work that you're meant to do if you really want to embrace your own humanity and pursue that journey that's so important in order to recognize who and what we are and how we're connected with the rest of the world.
Yeah. I think that's why conversations like this and books like this are so important. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're speaking today with Brad Wolfe. He's the editor of a new book featuring the writings and life of Philip Berrigan. It's called A Ministry of Risk, Writings on Peace and Nonviolence. I want to talk about another aspect here, and that is, you know, looking at other things happening in our world, especially in our country, that is dealing with systemic racism. Brad, what was it like for you to kind of reflect on Philip's thoughts about that and to think about where we are today?
That was a very interesting part of the research. Philip was a Depression-era child, very poor, grew up, as I mentioned, World War II veteran, and comes home after World War II and is very disillusioned with what he did and what he saw there. He said that he had to look into the mirror of his own violence and reconcile that with his conscience. And so he decides to become a priest, a Catholic priest, like his older brother, Daniel Berrigan. But Philip joins a particular order known as the Josephites, and that order of Catholic priest is dedicated to serving African Americans. And Phil did that because of the racism that he saw in basic training during World War II when he was stationed down south and then again during his service in Europe. And he was appalled by the racism he saw. He was really outraged by it. So he becomes a Josephite priest and immediately in the 1950s goes to work for civil rights activism, organizing, mobilizing, speaking out, coming under sanctions from the Catholic Church, who, you know, wanted to silence him again and again for speaking out about segregation. But Phil couldn't be silenced, and they kept moving him around from one diocese to another. And eventually, he saw this fascinating link between racism and militarism and war. And so when he saw how these were coming together along with materialism, which is what Martin Luther King spoke out in 67, you know, those three evils that are hitting America, racism, materialism, and militarism. Phil learned that in the 50s with the help of Dorothy Day and others, and he saw how they're all inextricably linked, and he was going to have to oppose all of them in order to live consistent with his faith and with his conscience.
Does it surprise you, Brad? You know, I'll be 49 this year, and it's interesting growing up in the South, primarily in Mississippi, even though I've lived in other places, being back here, does it surprise you that we have not gotten further when it comes to issues like this, especially when it comes to race and equality?
You know, unfortunately, it does not surprise me. I think it is so deeply ingrained in part of us that is difficult in order to recognize it in many of us. But when it's part of the economic system, when it's part of the political system, when it's part of the legal system, and when it's part of the corporate system, it's very difficult to wash itself out, to get rid of it, unless it's confronted, and it's confronted nonviolently with the kind of resistance that people like Phil Berrigan and so many others do. Phil had written that when we impose tyranny on a segment of our own society, the African-American community, it becomes easier for us to impose tyranny on people from other parts of the world. And so this is the link that he was seeing between our militarism and our racism. So it desensitizes us and dehumanizes us to be able to impose this kind of tyranny. So we have a lot of work to do. We've certainly come far. I don't think people ever would have thought in the 50s that we would be able to end segregation through nonviolent resistance, but we did. And we ended the war in Vietnam through nonviolent resistance. So there is reason for hope. And that's an important part of Phil's writings. There was always hope in his writings. And I found that to be very liberating.
I'm also an optimist myself, and unfortunately not everyone shares that view, Brad, but I am someone who is optimistic. And I think, too, because of the reason you just said, but also because the importance of, even though it may seem like a small group, then in many ways, it, you know, knowing that you're not by yourself, I think there are people who, even around Philip, who were able to show their support. So I guess our audience, I guess, is going to be curious as to your thoughts about why now and what you hope this book does for them. I think, for one thing, it's great that I and others get to know about Philip Berrigan and what he's been able to do. But why was it important to put this book out now, Brad, and what is your hope it does for readers?
Well, Phil's works, he's published 8 books, and they're all out of print for the most part. And many of his articles and speeches and handwritten journals never have seen the light of day since the 60s. So I wanted to go back and get them back into print, get them before the public to read, because the words are powerful, they're prophetic. But Phil's life example, his witness and his work, is equally powerful. And so my hope was, if people would read this, particularly young people, they would see an example of how you can live a life and how you can resist so much of this military-industrial complex that we're hit with each day. And there are different ways to live our lives. We can choose to avert our eyes from the suffering and the death that I indicated previously, or we can choose to engage in life fully. And we can travel that lovely journey to becoming fully human. So my hope was, get this book out there for people of all ages, all faiths, and have them read it and think, wow, I can do something too. And this work of peacemaking is not just reserved for these huge mythical figures, but there is something that I can do because I have a unique skill set that I can apply in some way and engage in this ministry of risk right alongside Philip Berrigan.
Yeah. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, Brad, because you mentioned Martin Luther King Jr., of course, that is part of the writings as well. But there's a topic that may seem odd for some people, but I think makes so much sense, that is mentioned in this book as well, A Ministry of Risk, and that is that of forgiveness. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about this. Philip Berrigan wrote about that. What was it like for you to see the way they looked at forgiveness and the importance of it?
It's critically important because all Phil's work was based on love, and the idea to get to love means forgiveness. So that meant forgiving the authorities and the courts and the judges who were conducting circus trials to put him in jail. His first act of nonviolent resistance, where he poured blood on draft files, earned him a sentence of 6 years. So that would generate a lot of anger and resentment, but Phil had to forgive the judge and the system, and basically sort of this, quote, American way of life. He also had to forgive particular individuals who were engaging in activities that were trying to embarrass or humiliate Phil and his family. So throughout his adult life, he's emphasizing the idea of love and forgiveness because that leads to reconciliation, which leads to truth. And, you know, Phil was after liberation, and he was one of the most liberated, one of the most free men that I've ever read about, despite the fact that he spent 11 years in prison. And that was the really wonderful irony of reading about his life.
And I think that is what people will really appreciate as they kind of dive into Ministry of Risk, Brad, but also I think appreciate what they're able to learn about him. And for our audience out there who are just discovering Philip Berrigan themselves, there is a website that's set up. It's philipberrigan.com. It's Philip with one L, philipberrigan.com. For those joining us online, we have linked to it in the notes of this show as well. There you can be able to get your copy of the book, also see some of what individuals have said about him, some of the names you will definitely recognize, some of the notables who have talked about him, but also, of course, how to be able to follow the movement online as well. Again, our guest has been Brad Wolf. He's the editor of the book, A Ministry of Risk. Brad, this has been a great conversation with you. I really do appreciate the thoughtful work you did in helping bring this book to the world and also spending some time with us. I'm looking forward to chatting with you again.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.